The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. The broadcast is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. The beautiful game from her point of view. Amy, Shereen, Signe, Claire, Rhea, just to name a few. Broadening perspectives, horizons, and minds. You're tuned into the broadcast on Footy Prime.
Crosser started.
He's merchants of badassery.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because that was a late kickoff.
Bye. Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know what I have to do? I have to get what I meant to say. Hang on a minute. We're recording.
Recording stuff. All
right. Yes. 17 seconds in, but here we go. This is the broadcast. I'm Amy Walsh. I'm joined, as usual, so lucky to be joined by two legends themselves, and Signe Butler and Shereen Ahmed. And BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime. And yes, we know we're hosting a home World Cup for the men's World Cup. And yet, the Northern Super League kicks on. So there was a break for the women's international break. And then the league got back going again. So to that end, we will just open the show with some quick women's national team updates. So there was a huge win. There was only the one game, as we discussed, in this window versus Costa Rica. Casey Stoney had spoke about, Shereen, the need to put in place these patterns of play. The identity had come through in the first two windows, but they needed time together to train. So the only one match on the docket, but they were able to come away with a lot of goals scored, a hat trick for Janine Sonas. And I think what they needed to do out of this window, they accomplished.
Absolutely. There was a little bit of drama around this particular pitch. Apparently the location changed pretty last minute, and Casey Stoney in the post-match presser gave credit to the Costa Rican Federation for moving the match so quickly, which is another reason why. It was a 9 o'clock kickoff, so the presser was at like 10 to 12. It was late. In that presser, Casey Stoney did say that Janine Sonas is in the best shape of her life. Hat trick. Her leadership was just emanating on the pitch, and her style of play, the confidence and the ease with which she looked to be playing that position. And then it makes you wonder, why wasn't she there before? So like, we end up leaving with sometimes more questions, but I thought the synchronicity of the team, I was really happy for Mimi Aladu for getting on the board really late in the match. A good thing. Ironically, Vanessa Gill did not score with her head. It's one of the first matches where that has not occurred. But they looked to be pretty cohesive. There wasn't a lot of substitutions, but they looked in good form. But to be fair, this was a scoreline expected with a team like Costa Rica. There was some flagrant, I was going to say not abuses, but hair pulling, it was brutal. And in my opinion, should have been a straight red. Mm-hmm. Like, it was really, really not good form.
It needs to be sent on that. It was absolutely ridiculous.
It was terrible. It was the same player. And actually, I ran into Vanessa Gill and I did mention her missing that free header. And she's like, do not remind me. I saw her at an Adidas event with Mimi Aladu, who's also an Adidas athlete. They talked about that. Apparently there were three hair pulls.
Yes. The one that I thought that was the most flagrant was close to the end. But irrespective of whether your team is gassed, you don't have the skill set, resorting to that kind of violence is absolutely unacceptable. So that's kind of like my overview of that. I was happy to see them play, happy to see it. And like, I do want to add one more thing. Janine Sonas scores a hat trick, gets on a plane, and then becomes part of the panel at TSN. So that's pretty incredible.
And does so brilliantly. Yeah, she's one of my faves. She's been doing very well with that incredible backdrop out in Vancouver, right? Which puts the studio in Scarborough to shame. I mean, you've got the natural beauty, but yeah, it was pretty impressive.
What? Scarborough's not beautiful? What are you saying, Dubs?
Well, not in that studio anyway. But Signe Butler, what were your takeaways from this lone match of the window?
I think the question mark, and there's, you know, some questions about whether they should have been playing, a top 10 opponent during this window as well. But I think there was a softness, if I can use that word, of making sure that this team does come together. There's a lot of new pieces in this puzzle, Team Canada. There's a lot of older pieces that have come back in. We saw Ashley Lawrence come back in, who I thought had a great game, and Jordan Heidema coming back in. So you saw like the old and the new. We didn't get to see a lot of, there wasn't a lot of substitutions to really make up some of the newer players on the national team. But I think from a training perspective, and I think that that was what it was all about, was just getting those reps in with each other, building partnerships in practice, and just getting like some team building in. And we can't see that behind the scenes, but I'm sure that will reap rewards. Hopefully it will anyway, as World Cup qualifying begins in the fall. So
mm-hmm. One more window remaining.
One more window, right? So, and you know, I know it's not easy. It's coming up fast. And you know, who will they play in that? Yeah. Yeah. So I'm excited for it. Yeah. What my other takeaways, you know, there were some gifted goals out there. I think we can mm-hmm. say that, but I think overall you're expected to win and win big against a team that's, you know, ranked in the 40s in the FIFA world rankings, and you know, job done.
Yep. And I think coping with, you know, we've seen this team play other opponents like Brazil, notably, where it gets borderline violent and reckless. And I think their ability to retain their composure and stay in the game and to just soldier on and to continue to rack up the goals, I think is good, because they're going to face similar opponents in November for this qualifying tournament that not only puts them in good stead for the World Cup in Brazil, but then for the Olympics, which has been this team's bread and butter.
And I like what you said there, though, like they didn't stray away from their game plan. Like it didn't, they weren't fazed by some of the fouls. They weren't fazed by, you know, just having only transitional moments in the game. They stuck to their style of play. They maintained possession. They recycled when they had to. I'm a little concerned again with the pace in which the midfield plays. They are going to get torched. Unfortunately, when you play a top 10 nation that moves the ball a lot quicker, you have to move the ball quicker in the midfield. That was my only sort of critique, was that, you know, you weren't really challenged in that position. And that's the position that has a lot of question marks for Canada.
Yeah. And we asked Casey Stoney about that, and she admitted that Emma Regan has quite a bit of work to do. I don't know if we just spoke about this on the previous broadcast, but I think these types of matches are where you have to get that foundational play about the profiles that are in there, how you're interrelating, but also how you're moving the ball, like the tempo. The midfield must be the tempo setters mm-hmm. for this team. And I think we've seen the wings do that. And I mean, obviously Janine Sonas with that impactful performance that you mentioned off the top, Shireen, I think she's very much the tempo setter. Like the way that Janine goes, this team goes. And in the past, it has been the way that Jessie Fleming as the captain goes, the team goes, but you need more help and you need more depth. And I think you need more playmaking happening from the middle of the pitch.
This message is brought to you by Tim Hortons at participating restaurants in Canada for a limited time.
Introducing Tim's Taste of the Globe, a limited time squad of globally inspired Timbits and iced cap flavors.
And trust us, this lineup came to play.
We're talking a Brazilian lime cheesecake Timbit,
a French chocolate creme brulee Timbit,
an Italian cappuccino Timbit,
and a Canadian fireworks Timbit,
plus a Mexican caramel churro ice cap that absolutely deserves a chant.
It's game on at Tim's with the new Timbits and ice cap flavors from around the globe.
Try them all today.
I will.
I know you will. Now back to the show.
Jesse was really good. Jesse was good.
Yeah.
Jesse was solid, but like that's what we expect, right? That consistency, that hard work. But I do agree. I agree with Sidna. There it is. We should get 5 cents every time that's said. that the pace has to pick up a little. And I think, but to be fair, it was extremely hot and the conditions, but where they were staying weren't excellent. There was a lot of those extra things that we had talked about, like some of the rooms they were in didn't have windows. So they did, to your point about bonding, they spent a lot of time outside their rooms because of those conditions. And we talked, I think we mentioned that before, but on a previous episode, but one of the things is they were probably gauging the weather and who they were playing for matching that pace, is my assumption, because to temper it to what's happening environmentally, maybe that was something that was happening. They didn't feel they had to pick up. Like when you're at 4-0, do you have to pick up?
No, but also it's setting the stage also for Brazil. Like that's what it's like in Brazil, right?
Yes. Oh my goodness. Wait, did you guys see at all? I mean, the US fell to Brazil in the first of
two match
series. I mean, there was some banter, more so than banter, happening on Twitter with Marta calling out Sonnet for play acting and for embellishment. But really, and then Trinity Rodman going online herself and saying, listen, we just out-Brazil'd Brazil. Like, that's what we did. But I love what Emma Hayes said. And it also, this could be speaking to Canada in their preparation and the mindset they have to have to be successful in November, is that you go into this hostile environment and it's uncomfortable. And you get accustomed to being uncomfortable and to finding success within that discomfort. I just thought it was so, like, I've been so impressed with Emma Hayes, not only like what she's done since she came in and she was hired and growing that player pool and trialing different players and giving them meaningful minutes, but she just seems to say the right things in the right moments there to lead that team. And I was, anyway, that was something with all of the images and the red cards. I think eight red cards out of the second match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wild, eh?
Insane.
It's
amazing. Yes.
I would like to point out that 10 minutes into the broadcast, that Shireen is sitting here with her under eye patches, and we've not said a word.
Well, the fourth guest on this episode,
Shireen is wearing lovely blue bejeweled eye patches, and why are you doing, and
looks stunning.
Yeah. Shout out to Kate Easterberg for putting me on, our lovely makeup person at CBC, to encourage me to wear these, because the fourth guest on this episode are the puffiness of my eyes, actually. I'm in between, like both of you, coverage of the Men's World Cup, but also being arranging my son's wedding, which is happening the day after Germany Cote d'Ivoire. So that's how I think of dates in terms of matches.
It's
so
true.
That's exactly what's happening. And I love my son so dearly. Do I love him enough to justify missing Germany Cote d'Ivoire? The jury's still out on that one. But no, I'm just kidding. I love you very much, Salou.
Your eyes will look glorious.
My eyes will look good. And I honestly need these so badly. I don't want to scare off our viewers, and even our listeners would probably be terrified of the
maybe today will be audio only.
Oh my god, I'm rough.
No,
today.
I was getting to that. We were talking about how we were going to accessorize, and we will get to your beautiful outfit. You can describe it for our listeners. And I said I was describing with, or I was going to accessorize rather, with bags, .. under my eyes. Because yes, I am also underslept covering the Men's World Cup. We are here to talk about NSL and our women's national team. But to Signa, because you're looking particularly cute today with your lovely hat and your kind of a rugby shirt. Tell us about it.
Well, yes.
This is the 1912 Canada kit, or like, I think that's what it was called at the time when it came out.
You're not that old, Sigs.
No, but I know I'm not. But I'm just,
no, you said 19.
You know it's old because it's Umbro.
Oh, I love it.
But yeah, this was a part of the Men's World Cup qualifying campaign. Unfortunately, a failed campaign I don't know how many years back it would have been. I'm not going to even guess right now. But
I love it.
But it was great. And then I just have my red Canada soccer hat on, mostly because I didn't do my makeup. And I'm going to the CBC Sports Golf Tournament right after this podcast.
So. Oh, that's today.
It is today, Shireen.
I know. I usually love going there. And last year I didn't golf. I just moved. But like with all the stuff for the wedding and, you know, I filed a piece. So, it's interesting because I think my editor might be at the golf tournament. He might be editing my piece on the green. So
I will report back.
Yeah.
I had asked, is it best ball? because those are my favorite kinds of.
Oh, it's
of
a scramble. Gulch. Yeah, it's a scramble. It's wonderful. And it's our third annual Glenn McDonald Memorial Golf Tournament. Glennie was a great producer that we worked with. So a little shout out to Glennie. Anybody in the industry who've worked with him would say the most glorious things about this guy. And he was an all-time classic, to use one of his favorite words. So we're really looking forward to, you know, sharing memories of him today on the golf course too.
Amazing. Well, best of luck and look forward to hearing all about that. So we'll put a bow on our women's nationals team talk. So looking forward to October, which would be the last window before that November W qualifying tournament. And hopefully in October, because we talked about only one match during this June window because of something gigantic happening, which is the Men's World Cup that Canada's co-hosting, but hopefully matches in Canada.
Yes.
Come October. That would be unbelievable. Okay. So moving on to NSL standings. So I'm going to make this a little bit bigger for myself so that I can walk us through it. So Ottawa Rapid, with their win away to Swongard versus the Vancouver Rise, they are top of the table. Correct me if I'm wrong, for the first time, because the Roses were unbeaten up until a couple of weeks ago. So the Rapid are first, 7 matches played, 15 points plus 9 goal differential. Then we got the Roses in second, the Tides in third, the Rise in fourth. AFC Toronto remain in fifth after they drew the Montreal Roses. So this is as low of, as they've been over the course of a season and a bit, where maybe what, like a fifth of the way through the season, a little bit more, maybe coming up to a quarter of the way. And the Calgary Wild still on the lowly 1 point. So why don't we start with, let me go here. So we kind of did our score roundup there. No, that's the more recent game. Bear with me here, folks. I got it. The first match of week 8. Is that where we are in NSL?
I believe so.
Week 8.
Yes. So saw Wanderers Grounds again host this matchup, which saw the Tides roll over bottom of the table, Calgary Wild 2-0, goals from Benatti in the 29th minute and Sarah LaMiller. And maybe let's start there, 44th minute to double their lead. And that's the way it ended. But Sarah LaMiller is a woman possessed. She had a very strong first season. And this year she has leveled up and she's leading the Tides, Cigna.
Yeah, 3 goals on the campaign so far. And I think just wearing the captain's armband has really, you know, she takes a lot of responsibility. And Stephen Hart talks about this about her, is that she leads by example. You know, she's not the most, you know, vocal leader necessarily, but she does all the right things in training, all the right things in games. And I think that people feed off that. And she feeds players too. Like she's, you know, she's not just scoring goals. She's out there contributing up front and tracking back and doing all the things that you need to do to be a player. So I would say for me, you know, one of the best players in the league so far to start the season, for sure. Shireen says she's my favorite of the season. We don't pick favorites on this show. Just
we love everybody equally.
We love everyone the same.
You know that's not true.
100%.
I say that when she did that.
and the Tides playing at home. Calgary, again, the struggles continue for them. Halifax went down to 10 players in the second half early.
I'm glad you brought that up. I wanted to talk about it.
Yeah. Yep. I think everybody can agree that was a very light second yellow card to Sinemu. I think everybody can agree on that, but you know, Calgary was only down 2-0 at that point, but they just didn't seem to have anything to get themselves back in the game. You know, they're up a player and they just could not get anything going, unfortunately. I did see some sparks, though. We did see Maggie Doherty Howard come into the game late, wearing that cast on her arm. Of course, she had some kind of, I guess, I don't know whether it's a fracture or a broken thumb or whatever. She had to have that surgery.
But it was surgically repaired.
So when she came on, you could definitely see the creativity was improved, and Riley Foster Inman had to be careful in goal, and I think was forced into a couple saves. So
yeah, but it was a little bit you know, too little, too late. You saw some urgency from Calgary and, like you said, more quality on the ball because their captain was inserted into the match, I think gave everybody a collective lift. But you can't wait until stoppage time when you've been up a player. I think this happened probably what in like the
first 5 minutes of the
second. Yeah, there was a significant amount of time to change the game. And there wasn't anybody who stepped up to do that.
I thought, you know, for Calgary, you know, aside, you know, the normal workhorses that you would recognize, you know, Grace Storti for one, I think her and Sarah Miller had a great battle.
They
really did have a great battle going on during the game. That was entertaining. Kali Johnson just took a beating out there. But she was, I thought Kali Johnson was quite good for Calgary. And that's a good sign to see her playing the bulk of minutes. And you need her. She's a threat. She needs some more support, though.
Mm-hmm. And good to see.
I also was going to say,
Third and two.
But there was also Stewart up front added some moments of pizzazz. There was some attempts, rightly so, not fast enough or soon enough, rather, that to contribute overall. But there were those bursts and those moments, which are really important considering how young Stewart is. I think that, and it can be daunting, like, especially playing the Tides when they just are seemingly, their system is working. Mm-hmm. And that can feel, when your team is not as settled, can feel unsettling. Let's see how many times I can use the word settled in a sentence.
Yeah, I want to shout out Foster Inman. So is that back? No, shoot, for the shutout. Obviously, yeah. I was going to say back-to-back, but of course it wasn't. And then for Calgary, bright spot in the first half and again pulling the strings was Stewart spraying the ball out wide to Kali Johnson. But I think where the bright spot was, where a lot of the positivity and the way that they were attacking, the threat they were creating, was a triangulation that was happening with an overlapping Grace Storti, and then you had Amaya Jones who was pulling inside and then combining with Bauckham at the top. And then they just didn't do enough to stay there. I think the decision-making sometimes of Stewart led her away from there, where she should have stayed where they had numbers and they had the overload. So some good things happening, as you both alluded to, but it never really amounted to much. And I think on the day, it was a well-deserved victory for the Tide. So from there, why don't we go to the next match on the docket? That was the Saturday. So it was a doubleheader.
Can I just say one thing I forgot to say?
Yeah.
The Natty Butte is one of my favorite sentences that you say, Amy. And when Julia Benatti scored her goal in that match, I was waiting and then you're like, Benatti Butte. I'm like, there it is. Enjoy
well,
that
I said
sentence.
in the pregame, and broadcast fans, please let us know if there's an obvious one that we're missing, or just let us know which is your favorite. Because I said Benatti Banger or Benatti Butte, and she just has this knack. Obviously, she voted goal of the year last year when she was with Ottawa, and now with Halifax, I think she's figured it out on dead balls. She's so dangerous.
Yeah,
and then obviously in the run of play, as that ball was recycled a little bit off the corner kick. Where is it a shot? Is it a cross? It doesn't matter because it's hit with enough menace that it causes problems for Talbert. Yeah, great to see. Okay, next one. So this one, Pride match for AFC Toronto. And we always know that the Vermilion Vanguard does that right. So up at York Lion Stadium. And Shireen Ahmed, you were on site. So why don't you take us through this one? It was a 1-1 draw with Lauren Rowe opening the scoring. And then Lisa Pachursky, who wasn't as influential as she could have been because she was moved wide to the left. Curious decision for me from Robert Rossitoyou, but it didn't matter because she just took the team on her back and said, I'm going to equalize this. And it's going to be through a moment of brilliance from me.
Yeah, she basically was like, okay, bitches, here I go. And she
exactly
did. She's delightfully nonverbal in post-game press conferences. She gives like 3-word answers. And it's so lovely because she's profound in the way she plays. And you know what? That's good enough. And then we can add the verbiage to describe it. I will say this. The goals came late, 68th minute for AFC Toronto. It was a scorcher. I was nicely nestled up in the press box, which is air conditioned, but it was a beautiful crowd out at York Lion Stadium. It was really nice. It was a pride match and it was really good to be there. The press box was also full. It was, we're not going to say gritty, but it was equally balanced. I always find that AFC's defensive line is solid. I feel like, and we've said this before, Sarah Rollins is incredibly poised for so young a person. She just manages that back line. Colby Barnett is on the back line too and has a strength. Like there's a gusto from her in the way she plays. She's different in the way that she executes, but really strong back line. But I also found that Charlotte Bilbao was really strong in the first half. I saw her wisdom and her expertise coming in, and it was chippy a little bit at times because it was so hot. And then, of course, the hydration breaks and what have you. But it wasn't boring at all, even though the goals came late. And then in a really interesting turn, like Kaylee Hunter had the ball very late and almost, I think, in the beginning, or no, before extra time, because, correct me if I'm wrong, Petrusky scored 4 minutes extra time, I believe.
Yeah.
And Kaylee Hunter went to the box, and instead of cutting towards goal, she went wide to the corner. And we just thought it was sort of like a decision to waste time or to, you know, get rid of the keep hang on the ball for whatever. But ironically, that's when Pachurski decided, no, I'm going to do this. Pachurski went straight up the middle of the park to the net and just blew it in. And it was such a Pachurski was Pachurskiing, essentially. And it's really good to see because she is not a loud person just by nature and by character. We've spent some time with her. But she's very expressive on the pitch and she's focused. And that was really fun. I think Chloe Manas, we've talked about her before, was doing work in the middle as well. Really smart. Elise Bennett for me was a little quieter this match. I don't know what it was. It's okay for you don't have to be 100% all the time, every week, every time. It's not, sometimes it's a more quiet day at the office, but it was really fun. And afterwards, I was kind of wondering how it would be seen because the game was essentially AFC's, right? And it was tied up in extra time. So is that considered more of a loss for AFC and a win, so to speak, for the Roses? And they both talked about that. There were some questions about how they view the Men's World Cup happening. And, you know, Robert Rostatoy said something that I thought was very poignant and I tweeted it out. He says it's business as usual for us. And I really like that. And then Marko Milanovic said for AFC Toronto, he said that it's good that we're hosting and hopefully there's more eyes on our game too and on this league, which is also very important and I think very relevant to the discussions at hand. So other than that, also Karpenko was excellent. Excellent. Yes. Between the sticks. I do have to say that.
Yeah,
just save smart.
Hunter missed her penalty, right? But Karpenko guesses right.
So she does.
I think that she was within touching distance of that.
She actually said that she counts a miss. Karpenko said this in the post-game presser, that she counts a miss as a save.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
fair.
You keep we'll it out, it. Right? They don't score. You're a big presence in net.
Yeah, yep. And it's good to see her on form.
Yeah. So a couple things from me. I will let Signe offer some thoughts before we move on to the last game in our best 11. But I think midfield battles, like first half, very much won by the Roses because you had Bidbo in and Minas. Small was excellent as usual, but I think the insertion of Olivia Chisholm for the second half kind of changed it into their advantage. They dictated terms to the Roses. And I think Colby Barnett does not belong on the left side of that back three for AFC Toronto, Signe.
She needs to move up the pitch. I think she's more like, you know, charging forward. Not saying that she can't play back there. I don't think that's what we're saying, but I think she's best utilized.
That's it.
Best utilized on that left wing. And the fact that she is just a workhorse, she is a box to box, tireless workhorse. And just her delivery and the Cruyff turn and just everything that she brings up front for them and in attack, I think was missing in the first half of the game. I did think that AFC's midfield, especially in the second half, was superior. Mm-hmm. Nikki Small was outstanding. Sarah Stratagakis, I think, needs the ball a little bit more. Like I think she's still coming back from her injury that she had, so still working her way back in. But she is such a fine player. And Chisholm, really impressive in that second half. And I thought, you know, it's been a little uneven as you would expect for Chisholm at the start of the season. I thought she's been very good. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, she's 18 years old.
and just graduated high school.
Yeah. Yes. You can't expect her to be consistent at game in, game out as an 18-year-old at this level. Mm-hmm. But she just came off time with the U-20s where she played some significant minutes there for Cindy Tai's team. So, yeah, I think that there's some good things on the horizon. And sorry, my last point, I thought Sarah Rollins was really good.
Yes.
And
new players to her right and to her left as well, right? New players,
and exact Jordan Brewster, our first debut of the season to see Jordan Brewster, who I thought was very impressive back there in her first minutes of the NSL season. And they're showing that they have a little bit more depth in that back three, which is important, right?
Yeah.
And managing minutes is a big deal, I think, for the right now, just because players are coming off international duty, but also it's a short schedule. Like, every team was, I think, playing like this week on short rest. So
yes, quick turnaround. And Croy Soto back on the bench for AFC Toronto, important as well for that mm-hmm. depth. Okay, from there, let's move on to the last match of the weekend, which saw, again, as I alluded to off the top, the visiting Rapid grab all 3 points as DB Pridham with the brace. We know she scores in bunches. She was leading the league in goal contributions. Mina also kicks one in, and then Jess DeFilippo with the lone goal for the home team. So Sigs, why don't you kick us off there? Just a quick thought on this match.
I thought it was a great game. I really did. Great spells from both teams. You can tell this is a rivalry. Of course, went down last year, to basically the death between these two teams, right? So, yeah, I think it's the one to watch. Obviously, the two coaches knowing each other from Denmark is a nice little side story. But I thought, yeah, spells of action from both teams. I thought Vancouver probably could have pocketed at least two more goals in that opening half. They were really dominant in that first half.
Grade A chances from DeFilippo.
DeFilippo, friend
of the show and fellow footy primer, and Craig Forrest, who was on the call with Nigel Reed, said that if DeFilippo was a little bit more clinical, it was a completely different game.
But DeFilippo was menacing. Like, the fact that she was just like, she was on a mission, and she eventually got her goal. But I thought she was really impressive. Just Vancouver's attack, especially in the opening half. I think the insertion of substitutions in the second half, where you saw Friedland and I believe Belzile come in for Ottawa, I think gave them a little bit more pace on the wings and really caused some issues for Vancouver. And And what can you say about DB? DB, you know, DB scores in the second half and also gets that pen. But I think just the fact that she always stays in games, whether it's tracking back, winning a tackle for her team, when she's not scoring, she's doing something that helps out the team. And I think mm-hmm. that is something that not every, you know, nine does. So I think that that's, you know, we're seeing the DB that we're used to seeing.
Can I also add about DB's hard tackle on Anae Ulrabi, which swiped her off her feet? And I was like, oh, okay, hockey season is back on. Don't mind a little of that rough tussle as long as it's not flagrant and like super harmful. I like that attitude because DB's here to win and to play hard to do it. And that is just a reminder of who she is and her intensity. And I love it.
Yep, she pushes standards. And I thought she was going to get her first international goal for Canada.
Yeah.
She comes on as a sub versus Costa Rica and bags of goals had already been scored. And she came awfully close. So maybe it was a little bit of that frustration. And then she took it out on the rise and she was able to get the brace for the Rapid. So why don't we, I will have the graphic laterally, kind of post-record as our beautiful thumb for week 8 in NSL. But I will just read to you guys our broadcast kind of collective best 11 for week 8. So it's Anna Karpenko in goal. We've got a back three of Addie Wickers for the Tide, Sarah Rollins for AFC Toronto, and Julianne Valerond of the Tide. So a Tide's heavy back line. And then our midfield is Lisa Pachursky of the Roses, Nikki Small from AFC Toronto, Mina Lee from the Rapid, Sarah LaMiller from the Tides, and then a front three of Lauren Rowe, who got the goal for AFC Toronto, DB Pridham with the brace we just talked about, and Jess DeFilippo, who got the lone goal for the Rise. So that's our best 11 of week 8.
Nice.
Here we are, friends. Yeah.
We're going to get accused of our tides bias again. But I'm just going to say something about if any of you out there, dear listeners, caught the Halifax-Calgary game and you saw Julianne Valeron block a shot with her face and the sound that that made, I mean, Julianne Valeron is built differently. Obviously we know, you know, she's got 3 goals on the season from an offensive standpoint. Her IQ is great, picking off passes, gets stuck in, loves getting in on the tackle, but blocking shots from the face, that's a new one for me.
The sound that made on broadcast was just jarring.
She enjoys thoroughly her job. And that's one of the things that so many of the players in the NSL do, like, oh my goodness. But there's something about Valeron, just her joy being there. And it's not in like this, there's a typical joy, like, or a different joy DB has or DeFilippo has. Valeron's is the stoic, strong happiness. And again, saving something, anything with your face is wild. So
I wonder how her jaw is doing. Because it connected with like the right side of her face, kind of like temple down to her chin and her cheek. And it was a stunning block. I mean, Foster Inman was likely thrilled, but speaking of stunning, Valeron was stunned on her feet. We're probably seeing, you know, the stars and the birds chirping around her head because she was checked from the physio after. And you hope that there's no like lingering concussion issues because she's absolutely drilled by that ball.
Speaking of Tides bias, I do actually want to say thank you to Emily and the Tide supporters for sending us some lovely stuff. We are all in different places right now because of jobs and World Cup coverage and this and that. And I just really wanted to say thank you, from the three of us. It was incredibly beautiful. Sig and I, and this is a shock to everybody, we're proud Nova Scotians. and Nova Scotia tartan is actually, I got my future daughter-in-law a scrunchie made out of Nova Scotia tartan because it was my first formal outfit when I was a child. And that color of blue is unstoppable. Anyways, I just want to say that was incredibly kind and it was delightful to receive. And I did a little unboxing video because it was addressed to me, but it was for me and Amy and Sigs. And thank you so much, Emily and the Tides friends, because that was really spectacular and it completely made my day. And thank you so much for those beautiful. And for those that don't know, Halifax Tides have a particular tartan that they've created and it is stunning and it's shades of purple and teal and just gorgeous. So I will be wrapping myself in that and it will match these eye patches.
Amazing. And for any other fans who want to send us gifts, we'll put Shireen's address in the show notes.
It was sent to the CBC.
We're really going to do unboxing from now on.
Care of the CBC, send us scarves, send us gifts.
I did get lovely stickers and thank you again to Vancouver sent me stickers. Calgary sent me stickers and I put them on and I gave some to you guys. And like, we just really appreciate it. Like, we love and feel that community and fandom. And it manifests in such a lovely way. And you are all so important to that experience. So thank you so much.
And thank you and cheers for listening and watching today. Might be audio only, but then you, of course, will be missing on the wonderful eye patches that Shireen is sporting. So maybe that'll be a socials drop. We'll see. And yes, how cute Sigs looks with her beautiful cap and her lovely shirt. And I wanted to add to that. What I'm sporting today.
Oh, nice.
This is Amy Walsh, Signe Butler call on the second ever NSL match at BMO Field.
Beautiful. Mike Cowley took the picture.
Yeah. Yep. And a gift from Anastasia Busis. Okay. So Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Enjoy the Men's World Cup, but don't forget the NSL continues and go out and support your local teams. So check us out on socials, like and subscribe on YouTube, and follow all of us on the respective platforms. Cheers, everybody. Talk to you soon.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.